This is a production of Cornell University.
It's 4:32 p.m. on Tuesday, March 16th, and I'm officially calling the University Assembly meeting to order. I'm going to ask Casey if you could please go through roll call, and Valerie and Charlie are both excused to be late to the meeting, but they will be here.
Awesome. Okay. Uche Chukwuke?
Here.
Hei Depew?
Here.
Nicola Danev?
Here.
David Dunham?
Here.
Jacob Veit? Brandon Fortenberry? Thomas Fox?
Here.
Was it David who's excused absence? No, David's here. Sorry.
Charlie and Valerie, and then Jacob's coming in right now.
Awesome.
And they're going to be late. They'll be here, not excused for the whole meeting.
Awesome. Thank you. Alex?
Here.
Robert Howarth?
Here.
Catherine Huang? Logan Kenny?
Here.
Karen Levine?
Here.
Jeff P?
Here.
Bennett Scher? Lucas here. Smith?
Yep, and I'm here.
Pilar Humpson?
Here.
Jessica Withers?
Here.
Awesome.
Thanks, Casey. Okay, so for calling for late additions to the agenda, I realized way, way too late that a resolution that was meant to be resolution 15 was inadvertently excluded. So I'm going to ask that, sorry, Jacob, I actually don't have the resolution up, but Jacob, I'm going to ask if you can make a motion to include your second resolution to business of the day as resolution 15.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd like to make a motion to include resolution 15 calling for a Veterans Resource Center.
No, Jacob, sorry. It was the other one. It was the, it was changing the name of your committee.
Yep. Yeah. All right. I'll make a motion to include that on the agenda, changing the name of the Campus Infrastructure Committee.
And so that's seconded. So for discussion, I just want to make the clarification that that's going to now be resolution 15, and we're going to have to change logistically the next one to resolution 16. Is there any discussion about adding that to the agenda? Okay, seeing none, if it's okay to take a vote by unanimous consent, I'm gonna ask if there's anyone who is against adding this to the agenda to please either make a reaction or raise your hand and speak out against it. All right, seeing none, that's going to be added. And then a quick question for Gina, to change resolution 15 currently to resolution 16, do I need an official motion?
I don't think so.
I think logistically it's okay if I, okay. So everyone, I'm just going to announce that resolution 15 right now calling for a veteran support center is now going to be UA resolution 16 for any future conversations about that. And are there any other late additions to the agenda today? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to move on to approval of the minutes, our business of the day. And that is our March 2nd, 2021 minutes. Let me know if anyone has not had a chance to review them and would like a longer period of time. I know that we didn't get it out, the agenda out, exactly 24 hours before the meeting. So I completely understand if this wants to be tabled, but if people have read it and want to move it along, that is fine as well. So I'm going to open the floor for a motion regarding the minutes.
I move that we table. I haven't had a chance to look at that yet.
I think that that's smart. Is there a second to tabling?
I'll second that too.
Okay, the second is by Bennett. Any quick discussion about tabling those minutes? didn't think so. So I'm going to ask again for a vote by unanimous consent. So if there's anyone opposed, please make a reaction or speak out. Seeing none, once again, this is going to go through. And now the minutes from our last meeting are tabled until our next meeting in 2 weeks. So please be sure to remember to review those, and they'll be attached to the meeting packet as well. So I'm going to keep moving us. Actually, before we move into our business, I think, Uche, if it's all right, if we can include a section on the agenda for the land acknowledgement, I think that that might be easy for me to do that prior to any new business. And I'm going to recite the land acknowledgement, and I'm sorry that I'm doing it after we've already started business. If anyone's opposed to that, please let me know.
No problem.
Okay, thank you, everyone. So Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayagono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayagono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayagono disposition and honor the ongoing connection of Gayagono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. So thank you, everyone, for letting me do that later. I am going to ensure that that happened. The land acknowledgement is before business moving forward. So we are going to start off with Resolution 14, calling on the Teachers Insurance and Annuity Association of America, TIAA, to divest funds from all fossil fuel holdings and agribusiness practices associated with deforestation and human rights abuses. And I'm going to give Caroline the floor.
Thanks so much, Logan, and thanks everybody for putting your heads to this. As you can see from my screen, this is one of the things I care most about at the moment. TIAA is one of two retirement funds that faculty and staff at Cornell are allowed to participate in. TIAA is one of the biggest companies in the U.S. It controls $1.1 trillion in assets. It's also one of the biggest investors in fossil fuels, including coal, one of the major investors in coal in the country. And they're a direct owner of two fracked gas plants, including one in Dover, New York, which is having tremendous ill consequences for people in the region. And also methane gas, as Bob Howarth has shown, is worse for climate change than CO2 by a lot. So TIAA is a nonprofit company that provides retirement accounts for teachers, faculty, and nonprofit organizations around the country. And so it's kind of against our basic principles, right, that we are, teachers are investing in the young people we're trying to protect future generations, and TIAA is investing in climate catastrophe. So it seems like that's a contradiction of our principles as teachers. And when we talked to TIAA about this, they said, well, we haven't heard from our clients that they have a problem with this. You know, most people don't seem to complain. And so our group has been realizing that most faculty and staff don't know about TIAA's investments, and that the first thing that we need to do is to make a kind of public statement that Cornell faculty, staff, and students are opposed to this kind of investing. We know we are because we passed resolutions on divestment last year of our own endowment, but now we want to start to put pressure on TIAA as a campus. And the SUNY system has just passed a state wide resolution to divest from TIAA, and we're working with campuses in North Carolina and Maryland and states, all kinds of other institutions. But Cornell would be the first big private institution to call for this kind of divestment. So I am very happy to answer any questions that you have. I know it's actually very technical, some of the stuff about retirement, and students are often kind of far away from retirement. But if you just think about the fact that your professors are being required to put their money into this retirement fund, and we would rather not put our retirement funds into fossil fuels if we could avoid it.
Thank you so much, Caroline. And with the floor open, I see Bob's hand up and you are formally recognized.
Thank you, Logan. And thank you, Caroline, for pushing this. You know, I'm so delighted that we at the UA and others were able to get Cornell to divest our own resources from fossil fuels last May. That was an incredible achievement. But the TAA is even a larger challenge. And I just really appreciate the effort you've put into it. I'm solidly behind this, and I hope the UA will endorse it, giving us on the faculty a chance to use our dollars in ways which are not destructive to the life principles we work on a day-to-day basis. So thank you.
Tom, the floor is yours.
Well, I certainly agree with the goals of this. In terms of reducing carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and methane in the atmosphere, I'm wondering why you're leaving Fidelity out of this.
Some of the other team members of the group say, Fidelity's our next target. TIA is worse in terms of its fossil fuel holdings, and TIA doesn't even have an option for us to opt into a fossil-free fund, whereas Fidelity does. It's not great. Fidelity is no perfect actor either, but TIAA is, I think, both doing worse things right now and has this constituency that we can represent as faculty maybe more readily or more easily.
Okay, I am also very much in support, and thank you very much, Caroline, for taking the initiative and drafting such a really well detailed and really easy to follow resolution, despite it being quite technical to someone who's not within this world. I also want to have it be in the record that it will be in the record when people see the resolution, but just that this passed in the Campus Infrastructure Committee on March 3rd by a 5-0-1 ratio. So I think it's important to know that this was discussed in a committee and it's coming before us, and they're all standing behind Caroline's resolution as well. So I have the floor still open for any questions, but if there's no further questions, then the floor is open for any motions.
I would like to move the motion.
Is there a second?
A second.
Seconded by Bennett. Okay, and is there any discussion? All right, seeing none, I would like to very quickly, I don't know if I can point of order as I'm chairing, but just asked Casey or Gina to remind me which form disappears during the voting, so that we can get the most accurate count.
I think the yes button disappears currently.
Okay, so if Casey, what would be the easiest way of counting votes? Would it be having yes still, but just everyone being quick about it because it shows the number?
Yeah, so if everyone raises their hand for yes, and then no, and then abstentions.
Okay, so I'm going to call them one at a time so that it's easier in that way. So sorry, everyone, for the like quick back and forth. I just want to make sure that we're getting the votes. So if you're in favor of this resolution, can you please press the yes button? Okay, and that looks like 14. And if there's any opposition, can you please press the no button? And then if there is any abstention, can you please press the yes button? So that is going to pass 14-0-1. So congratulations, that's really exciting. And thank you again, Caroline and the CIC for making this happen. Moving on, we are going to go to now resolution 15, which is amending the University Assembly bylaws title of the Standing Campus Infrastructure Committee. And I just want to once again remind everyone that since this is a bylaw change, we will have to table it to the next meeting for a vote. So this is the introduction, and I am going to apologize in advance. This was just a miscommunication. There were a lot of emails, so I'm sorry that you didn't get it ahead of time, but it wasn't for a lack of the committee sending it or Jacob sending it. And this also passed through the CIC on March 3rd with a 5-0-1 vote. And with that, Jacob, the floor is yours.
Yeah, do you mind just coming back to this resolution? I got to take care of something personal really quickly.
All right, I am going to ask that someone move for this resolution to be moved to the last item and for us to go to resolution 16.
Do you want us to move for it after resolution 16 or after the constituent assembly updates?
Thanks, Bennett. That's a good question. I'm open to suggestions on where to put it.
Yes, sorry to interrupt, but as an alternative, as a member of that committee, I was at the meeting where we endorsed it. This is something that's been recommended by the committee going back almost a year now.
Yeah.
I appreciate that Jacob has an issue at the moment, but I'm not sure we need to wait on him to weigh in on. I think it's a relatively straightforward issue. The Campus Perfect. Infrastructure Committee has for better part of a decade worked much more than just on the infrastructure. It's worked on sustainability and climate change. And when divestment issues, as the one that Caroline brought forward that we just passed, or the ones that we brought to the university trustees last year, those all came through this committee, as have many other things. So it's just it's a recognition that infrastructure is a narrow name for the committee.
Yeah, Bob,
I would suggest we simply move ahead on it.
I completely agree. Since Jacob is the only sponsor, and he did request to have it moved, though, in respect to his wishes, I agree with you that it should be moved ahead, and I know that this is something we've been talking about for a while, but I would like to respect Jacob's wishes. I just want to know if Jacob is still here, when he would like it to be moved to.
We can go ahead with it. That's fine. We can go ahead with it.
Thank you, Jacob. So, Bob, thank you for taking it away. If you're comfortable, Bob, to speak more to the resolution as it stands, I would really welcome that, or any member of the CIC.
I'm happy to. I don't want to step on Jacob's toes, but it's a straightforward recognition of what the committee actually does and has done now for a decade. The committee has played a critical role in bringing these issues of climate and sustainability to the UA for a decade. And it's a recognition that by changing the name, it's easier for people to understand what the committee does and get people more engaged. Infrastructure sounds like you're talking mostly about stop signs and streetlights, which is fine. And the committee does talk about those things sometimes, but we're also talking about climate change and divestment and fundamental changes in the way that the university operates to support climate change and divestment. And so I think it's a straightforward thing. We actually recommended it last year, but in the crush of COVID, et cetera, it fell by the wayside. So I think it's a well-due time to make the change.
Thank you very much, Bob. Are there any questions from members to members of the CIC regarding the name change, whether it's to say that you like the name? I put both the resolution and the proposed title of the committee in the chat for everyone to see. And I see Nick's hand up, so you are recognized.
Thanks, Logan. I just can't open the link. It's saying that it's not shared with me.
Okay, Nick, let me quickly do that. Okay, Nick, you should have access to it right now.
Thank you.
Okay, so the floor is still open either for comments or motions.
So are we able to vote on this today? Are we good to move forward with this, or?
Since it is a bylaw change, it has to be tabled and voted on at our next meeting. So I would recommend tabling this just I know we're actually running incredibly on time today, actually, but I'm used to saying in the interest of time, but it doesn't exactly fit here. But in the interest of people being able to thoroughly look it over and propose anything else, these do have to sit until our next meeting to be approved since it's a bylaw change. So I would recommend a motion to table this to the next meeting if people are okay with that. David.
Yeah, if there's no further discussion, I'll make a motion to postpone further discussion until next meeting.
Is there a second to tabling this to the next meeting?
Second.
Okay, I don't know who seconded between Nick and someone else.
Nick, it was me. Sorry, it's Jeff.
It's Jeff. Okay, seconded by Jeff. All right. Thanks, Jeff. And is there any discussion on tabling this until the next meeting? Seeing none, if you're all right, once again, I think I'm going to do a vote by unanimous consent since this seems pretty straightforward. So if you're opposed to tabling this into the next meeting, please react now. Bennett, I'm going to assume that your thumbs up is you agreeing with what I just said.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so if anyone has any opposition, please speak now or put a reaction in so that I know. All right, seeing none, this is officially and unanimously tabled and will be voted on at our next meeting. And now we are going to move on to Resolution 16, and I am going to ask Uche to take over chairship.
You got it.
So Uche, I just need you to call on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you. All right, everyone. So I'm the primary sponsor of this next resolution, which is University Assembly Resolution 16, calling for a Veterans Support Center. I wrote this together with Jacob Mitch Hoy, who is an undergraduate veteran, and he's here. Welcome. Thanks for being here, Mitch. As well as Daniel Meyer, who is a veteran and also a Cornell alum. So basically, this resolution is calling for the creation of a veteran support center. This support center would include counseling for veterans who have experienced any issues related to their service, really. So it doesn't it's PTSD or just integrating back into civilian world and making sure that veterans on our campus are adequately taken care of and supported in a way that is most beneficial not only to the community, because the veterans provide such excellent contributions to the Cornell community, but also so that we are making sure that the support that they give us, they're supported from beneath and giving that foundation. Personally, this just comes from a place of other institutions also having veteran support centers and us being a little bit behind the trend in that. We don't currently have counselors who are specifically practicing in anything related to veteran work. I'm not sure. I haven't checked with CAPS, but I don't think that we have a veteran counselor either. So it would just be a center that would provide services that would facilitate the transition from being in the military to rejoining the civilian world and making sure that our veterans are thriving on campus. Mitch, do you have anything that I didn't say?
No, that was okay. Awesome, Logan. Thank you.
So I am going to say that Mitch is a part of CUVA as well, Cornell University Veterans Association, and I'm a part of CLVA, which is Cornell Law Veterans Association. We both feel that tabling this resolution is the right move so that we could talk to CUVA, CLVA, Johnson Vets, other vets across campus, including faculty and staff. But we wanted to bring this to the floor, one, so that at the Board of Trustees meeting on Friday, this could be an item that I can discuss as being discussed within the University Assembly, but additionally to field any questions or concerns and to just get the general input from the UA on where you think we could go with this appropriately. So that is my long-winded introduction. So I just got a private message to say that there's a house dedicated to veterans that was introduced, and I want to explain that this is different because that is literally going to be a house for them to live in, and there are not services provided with that. And Mitch, would you be able to talk a little bit more to the house that was just assigned to CUVA and other individuals with civil service background?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. CUVA is Cornell Undergraduate Veterans Association for short, has been working with the administration, and they were able to secure an actual property here on West Campus. I live in Alice Cook House, and it's right across the street, 625, I believe it's University Avenue. And it's exactly that, as Logan described. It's a physical house for us to live together in. We have been trying to build a sense of community on campus, and we think this is a fundamental building block, is to have a physical space where we can all come and live together. And it's prioritizing veterans, but we also we're adamant about bringing in other undergraduate students that are interested in government or in civil service, so it could be part of the community.
Yes, I hope. Thank you, Mitch. That was really clear. So I hope that answers that. If anybody has any questions about the difference between the community center versus the housing, the big difference would be one is resource-based and the other one is more, I don't want to say camaraderie because there's going to be way more involved with that house, but it's creating a foundational home base for veterans to be together on campus. So, and that space I've been told is too small to house a resource center, which is why this proposal is now being brought forward. Like I said, the floor is open for discussion about where Mitch and I are going to go next when we start speaking to veterans across campus. And Yeah. Hey, you've got the floor.
Oh, just very quickly, there's a Veterans Employee Assembly rep who's also on the Veterans Colleague Network group, which is a pretty good resource. So I just wanted to make sure that you were going to get in touch with them as well.
Mitch, if we're not, or are we in contact with that individual?
Not regarding this yet, but we will be, yes.
Okay, thank you. So Mitch, if you could please loop that individual in.
Absolutely, thank you.
Thank you, Hey, that's really helpful. Tom?
I was just wondering what, so you envisage this as a fully staffed CAPS type satellite, or is that, I'm trying to understand what, in addition to a physical space, we're talking about here.
Yeah, so I am trying, that's one, it wouldn't be a fully staffed place. It would be more of an open space for guest lecturers, for example, or individuals to come in and speak to the veteran community. It would be a safe space for individuals just to get together across different constituent veteran groups and brainstorm. It would be, I'm hoping that we would be able to get a counselor in CAPS, which might have to be another resolution asking for that hiring, that would maybe go to that space once or twice a week and have individual appointments through CAPS, maybe group appointments, but not a fully staffed place, more of a space for individuals to work together and then to have outside support be able to come in as well. I think in 2 weeks when Mitch and I come back with more information, I think it'll be more clear about what other universities do. The plan is for us to survey other universities and show like exactly what their veterans resource centers do. And I think that will help clarify a lot of the questions. We really just wanted to get this on our minds before the Board of Trustees meeting, just so that it could be a small item that I bring up, not obvious, just like a small thing to say that we're discussing at the moment. I hope that answers that, Tom. Please.
Yeah, I mean, so at this point, it's really a dedicated space and how it, yes, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. And Gina, I think your hand was up next.
I can go after Nick.
Okay. Nick, you've got the floor.
Thanks, Gina. Thanks, Logan. I just wanted to briefly say that I fully support this. So my undergraduate institution has spaces like this for various groups, including veterans, where it's not necessarily a space to exclude others, but it's an inclusive space in the sense that this is a space dedicated to talking about topics that pertain to that community, where people can feel, you know, comfortable to host guest lectures, to have various community building events. But that's not to say that others can't be there. It's just to say that the topic and the reason for the existence of this is to deal with issues pertaining to that community. So I think this is an amazing step in a great direction. And I think we should also, as an assembly, consider dedicating similar spaces to other groups as well, not to diminish the value of having this space for the veterans group.
Thank you, Nick. I completely agree with having spaces for other groups as well, and that this is just a starting point in what I hope will be a greater chance for Cornell University to allocate some funds towards assistance programs and houses for individuals. And Gina, do you want me to call on Bennett first, or are you okay going?
Bennett can go.
Okay, Bennett.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you, Logan. I'll just make this really quick. The CWC also within our charter discusses healthcare needs across campus. So I would be more than happy and more than willing to bring a separate resolution through the CWC to discuss adding a veterans specialist to the CAPS department. That's something that the CWC could potentially take up as soon as Friday. That's when our next meeting is. If that's not enough time, we have one 2 weeks after.
Thank you, Bennett. Yeah, that would be absolutely excellent. And perfectly within the purview of your committee, and I would be happy to come and talk. And if Mitch is available, I'm sure he'd be happy to come and join as well. And I Jacob also, and if we get in contact with Dan, there's a line of sponsors. But thank you. I really appreciate that. And Gina, I am recognizing you as a guest and community member, not as director of the Office of the Assemblies.
Thank you very much. I rarely do this, but veterans advocacy is something that I'm very passionate about and involved with as well. In that you want to bring this to the Board of Trustees, I just wonder if really what you're asking for is a resource allocation, if there's a way to look at the new residence space perhaps differently and carve out some space there so that the resources that you're asking for might be melded in. It may not exist, but is there an opportunity to look at things right now differently so that what you're asking for, you might more readily be able to get? I think that there are so many asks right now of the administration for support for different student organizations and student groups that with the rollout of this new residence on University Avenue, I just wonder if maybe the timing is really great for here's an opportunity to ideate a little differently. What would a model look like if you could carve up some space and then use some, if it's maybe you're asking for a veterans CAPS, you know, support person or something that could really support your immediate need and grow into something that isn't a building. I think that might be a little bit more difficult to get at this point.
Yeah, thank you, community member Gina.
Thank you.
As you know, we both share that same veteran advocacy background and interests, and I think that your point is a really great one. And Mitch and I will go back to CUVA and look at the layout of the house and see if that's any possibility of just asking for resources, which I know is more of an immediate thing than a building. So I think that's an excellent point. So I know right now CUVA feels that the house is too small for that. So we can have more discussions and see if there's any space. Mitch, if you want to add anything, please feel free to just jump in. But yeah, Mitch and I will go back to CUVA and we'll look at the outline of the new house and we'll see if there's any like space that would be appropriate for like get larger gatherings and things like that. So thank you a lot, Gina, for that.
I saw a question in the chat from Robert Platt regarding War Memorial and Barton Hall. The Barton Hall space, as far as I'm aware, is for ROTC. Undergraduate veterans are not permitted to utilize that space at all. So that'd be, if we were to able to be gained, maybe that is an idea, being able to gain access to that space. But as far as I know right now, we're unable to utilize that.
Thanks, Mitch. I totally missed that. And thanks, Bob, for bringing that up, because that's another really great point that Mitch and I can look into and see if there is potential opportunity for veterans to get the space. The spaces are controlled by Military Science Department, but yeah, usually I believe that space is for ROTC and not currently for CUVA or Johnson Vets or Law Vets or Vets across any of the other graduate programs. So with that, are there any more questions or comments? And if not, I'm going to ask that somebody tables this until the next meeting with the understanding that Mitch and I are going to do a... Actually, I'm allowed to do this since I'm not chair currently. I am going to move that we table Resolution 16 to our next meeting with the understanding that myself, Mitch, and Jacob, if he'd like to as well, do further research on campus and look at other avenues and come back to the UA with potential other ideas, whether including the new house, spaces designated to ROTC currently, or just connecting with other individuals and bringing more information. But I wanted to get this on the radar. So I know that's a long motion, but the crux of it is just I'd like to table this to the next meeting with the understanding that Mitch and Logan will be doing more research.
I'll second if you're looking for a second.
Yes, please. And then Uche, you're up for the vote.
I guess all the people who are voting yes, could you do so in the reaction bar? All right, and if you're voting no, I guess put no. And if you're abstaining, you can either put it in the chat or click yes.
Okay. I have permission to resume chairship.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you very much. So I think, Casey, unless I'm wrong, that looked like it was 15-0-0. Okay. So that's going to pass unanimously. And I just want to thank Mitch and Jacob so much for the work that they've done, as well as Dan, who's not here. It's been great, and there's other individuals who I'm not naming yet that we haven't spoken to, but it's been really excellent to talk to such a diverse group across campus. So I'm going to move into committee updates. We're starting with the exec committee, who didn't meet last week due to wellness, but Uche, let me know if you have any further updates.
Nope, no updates at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. And then we're going to move to the, potentially for the last time I'm going to be saying this, Campus Infrastructure Committee.
Absolutely. So we had our first meeting, well, it was approximately 2 weeks ago now. We originally decided that we were going to have a meeting last week, but due to the wellness days, we decided it was in everyone's best interest to postpone that to next week. So we got a lot of great work done. We discussed, obviously, the TIAA resolution. We discussed changing the name of the committee, which we discussed today. We set our schedule. We begun talking about some future projects, and I will be sending out an email very shortly. I know I've been saying this, but I will send it out very shortly. It's been a rough exam period. Everything's been hitting at once. So once I get over this hurdle, I will send out all the information that I promised regarding updates from the university.
Thank you very much, Jacob. And then I'm going to move on to the Campus Welfare Committee. Actually, I'm sorry, everyone. I'm going to get back into the habit of asking if anyone has any questions for our committee chairs after each report. I'm just used to us being rushed for time, and we're not currently. So does anyone have any questions for Jacob or on behalf of the work that the CIC is currently doing? Okay, seeing none, does anyone have any questions now going back one more to the executive committee on anything that we're doing? Okay, also seeing none. And now I'm going to move on to the Campus Welfare Committee.
Hey, everyone. So updates from the Campus Welfare Committee. We met 2 weeks ago to formally establish the Ad Hoc Committee on Naming Practices and Historical Preservation. So this committee is currently being staffed and will be finalized at, or the initial membership, I should say, will be finalized at our Friday meeting this week. At at present that staff or the staff of the committee is only limited to interested members of the campus welfare committee. And then that committee is going to, or the ad hoc committee is then going to identify stakeholders and people that they feel as though should be brought onto the committee, which will include members of the university assembly. So if you're interested in joining that committee, once it's been formally staffed on Friday, please send me an email. I'll send out like another reminder to the whole body once Friday happens and we have the initial staff of the committee, but we're looking forward to.
Thank you, Bennett. And in true Bennett fashion, you click mute before the last word of your sentence, which makes me laugh a little bit.
Oh, sorry. I said we're looking forward to getting it started.
Thank you. I have a quick question. Sorry, Jacob just made me laugh and cough. Bennett, you said that you were looking to identify groups across campus currently that might be interested in serving. I was just wondering in what manner you're doing that, if you're reaching out to, for example, Ryan Lombardi to see if like a mass email can go out, if you're reaching out to constituent groups, et cetera.
At the moment, I'm going to leave that up to the committee when it's staffed to figure out how to get that done, who to reach out to and whatnot within the actual resolution that established the committee. I only serve on it as an ex officio tiebreak vote. Who gets brought on and who gets involved, that is entirely up to the members of the committee. We didn't want there to be a conflict of interest between the chair of the welfare committee and this ad hoc committee. So I only serve as I have the ability to make recommendations and break ties, but that decision will be left up to the members of the committee.
Bennett, once again, in true fashion.
Wow. Okay. that decision will be left up to the members of the committee on Friday, and I'm going to pause for 2 seconds.
Perfect. Thank you, Bennett. And I'm sorry that I'm laughing at it. It's just that we all get like the crux of what you're saying, but we miss like the last one or two words. So it's like a guessing game, I think, for all of us. So it's a little fun, but I want to make sure that you're properly represented. So I apologize for laughing, but it's because I appreciate it. Last but not least, I saw, Brandon, that you joined. So Codes and Judicial Committee. Oh, actually, I'm so sorry. Are there any more questions beyond my own? Okay, and Bennett, I also want to once again thank you for raising the CAPS issue with the CWC at your next meeting, getting a service-related psychologist or counselor. I really appreciate that. And so, Brandon, now the floor is yours. Sorry about that.
No worries. Thank you, Logan. So we met as the CJC. We did not have quorum in the last session, but we've shifted our meeting schedule in hopes to allow us to have quorum moving forward, have some key things we need to kind of move through. The primary piece for this semester, one, we have to work on the transition to the new code, but in the immediate timeframe is working on the University Hearing and Review Board, assuring that we don't allow for there to be a lapse in coverage for that group. So I'm going to just speak to kind of one idea that we've kind of spoken about that we will be reviewing in more detail and in hope of getting quorum at our next meeting so that we can sort of make some decisions. But in essence, we have current code and a new code. We have to think about those two aspects and ensuring that we are covering all the scenarios in which cases can be brought forth in the current code, and then look to the future of the new code and ensuring that once that begins, we have a contingency or a cohort in place that can begin to hear cases as it pertains to the new code. So speaking to the form of the current code here, we are looking to potentially make the appointments of those who are in the UHRB with a designated end date of May 31st of 2021, who would in essence be fulfilling one half of a 2-year appointment. The discussion is whether we take that one half and just fill the back half of it with the same people, and they would move through to 2022. And those would be the folks who would maintain and oversee the current code cases, because in the new semester, when the new code is here, there will still be cases that were brought forth under the current code. They will not have completely heard every case. Some would get heard in the fall semester, and some may even go into the spring semester, depending on the situation, students on leave and things of that nature. So it's really important that we maintain a cohort that's hearing all the cases under the current code. And then the other thought process is to look at now what would be happening at this time frame would be to fill a new cohort of UHRB members, and those would be a 2-year appointment. And the current thought and discussion is around having this new cohort that we would be soliciting to get applicants for be brought on with the understanding and acknowledgement that they would likely not hear any cases until cases need to be heard under the new code. So they would actually be getting trained on the new code. They would be hearing all the new code cases and really wouldn't interact a lot with the current code because based on the conversations with the OJA, they feel that if we maintain the cohort that I spoke to previously, that would be enough to fulfill the need of the UHRB for hearings and reviews. To maintain through the semester and into the following semester for the current code. And then this new cohort would then take on the new code. So this is one ideology that we're kind of talking through and determining if the CJC would be in support, the committee members would be in support of that decision. I have spoken with Logan, and she, from a perspective of the bylaws and everything, that this would be feasible to do because we understand and acknowledge we're working in a bit of a gray area as we transition to the new code. So that kind of outlines the major kind of item that we have on the table right now to resolve. And then obviously, like I said, we'll continue to keep working on how we transition into the new code.
Thank you, Brandon. And just for the record, I want to thank Brandon for his forward thinking and ability to think so many steps ahead. It's really impressive. So I really appreciate that you are working with two different cohorts right now and that you're thinking about cases and retroactivity and that you're also thinking about the transition period while also helping the vice president in the transition process. So I really commend you for all the work that you're doing. I know it's not easy, and I'm giving you a round of applause. And I stand completely behind you in what you're doing. If anyone has any questions for Brandon or myself on the decision to have two separate cohorts and to appoint people to the UHRB boards for the current code as well as the future code, please ask them now or any other questions. But before I open the floor, I just wanted to acknowledge the crazy amount of thinking and work that Brandon is doing and how grateful I am. And the early Friday meetings is, the CJC is a great place and doing a lot of wonderful work. And yeah, thank you for being so open to change and forward thinking.
Thank you, Logan. And I definitely want to thank the committee members as well as you and Gina for helping me to fill the gaps of the things that I don't quite understand and comprehend fully. And I think that we've got a great group here to be able to solve what is a bit of a quagmire. But I appreciate that. So I do welcome any questions or comments at this point. Please note that what I'm speaking to is not formally approved and reviewed for the CJC. It's just the current thought process. So I welcome any thoughts or input that you might be important for us, for me to bring forward to the CJC as we think through this.
Okay, seeing your hands, I recommend if anybody has any ideas to email Brandon and let him know, because Brandon is incredibly open to, I don't want to say constructive criticism or just advice, and will respond and take it seriously. And I think right now the CJC, like Brandon said, is in this gray area that I think we figured out, but it doesn't hurt to help us out at the end of the day. So thank you all for the work that you do. And if you have anything that might help Brandon, even if you think it's something small, I'm sure he would be more than happy to receive your email. And so with that, that ends our committee updates. I would like to say that there are a lot of vacancies currently on committees. There have been quite a few resignations in this semester alone. I don't have the exact number, and I'm going to ask Pilar if you're okay with sending either today or tomorrow the number out, both the UA number to the UA and then the numbers missing from each committee to the constituent group's leaders, so that we could try to fill those positions as soon as possible, because I want to make sure that we have quorum for the rest of the semester for all of our committees.
I'll go ahead and reach out to the committee chairs. At the moment, there's only one UA seat that's missing for the CJC. The other ones then fall into whether they're a grad, GPSA representative, e-employee, and so on. So I'll reach out to those groups individually, but there is a UA spot left for the CJC.
All right. So if there's anyone interested in serving on the CJC, please email Pilar. If you're serving on the CJC through another constituent group and you think that there's another person who would be willing to also serve, you can resign from that position and then become a university assembly voting member to the CJC. So I just want to leave that open as an option for any of our CJC members who are from other constituent groups. So just something to think about. And I just want to reiterate the importance of staffing our standing committees, because the beautiful thing about the university assembly is that we have the opportunity to hear voices from everyone. So when we are down one constituent group, it hurts the representation of that constituent group. So if we can all work together to fill those committees, I think it would be great. I don't think that time commitment is crazy, especially not for the CJC. It's not the same as it was last semester. So if anybody experiences people responding that they're fearful of time commitments, please direct them to the chairs. And I think the chairs can adequately speak to that. And so with that, I am going to... Oh, okay. We do not have Kat again. Lucas.
Yeah.
I hate to call on you, but are you comfortable giving an update for the student assembly?
Yeah. So I guess luckily we still haven't had much on our agendas. One thing we did 2 weeks ago was took some the communications committee for the student assembly and appropriated some funds to the access student access fund. And then this last meeting, we looked at our election rules, since there are student assembly elections are coming up and they're going to fall in conjunction with the student elected trustee. So hopefully going to get voter turnout up this year on the student side of things.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thank you. Any questions on behalf of student assembly work at the moment? Jacob.
Yeah. Lucas, do you guys have is the election schedule already published or public? And how will you go about making sure that folks who potentially may be interested in running are aware of the election? I know that was a particular problem last year, and I anticipate it will be possibly even a bigger problem this year, given the fact that folks are primarily communicating online.
Yeah, that's a great question. It isn't posted on the Office of Assemblies website, as far as I know. I'm sure Gina can speak more to that, you know, when that might be going up. I know we talked about the dates at our last meeting, so there is kind of a framework in mind. I think that's waiting some other approvals and things like that. So I see Gina has her hand up, so she can probably fill in the gap there.
Yeah, Gina, if you could please clarify.
Sure, thanks. And what Lucas said is just right. The calendar is almost done. There's just a few tweaks that need to be made that I anticipate will be made here in the next few days. And then the SA and our office will be working together to make sure that everything is pushed out. Like last fall, all of the elections this spring will be done electronically and virtually. There won't be any in-person canvassing or campaigning because of the restrictions that are still in place. But there should be more than adequate number of emails and information sessions and different camp opportunities to make sure that students who want to participate can. But if you have ideas, I'd reach out to Patrick, the director of elections, or any member of the executive committee and or me, and let us know what those ideas are.
And I'd add, I guess Cornell Votes is certainly been a big part of driving this change in how Student Assembly does elections, and they're going to continue to be. So I think that's a really cool partnership that hopefully other assemblies can kind of take some lead from in the future on how we can really change the way we do elections. So, yeah.
Lucas, I just want to say thank you for providing updates. I think it's the past 3 weeks. I know I keep putting you on the spot, but I really appreciate it that you're ready to just speak.
Always happy to.
Thank you very much. So moving on, we're going to go to the GPSA.
Yeah, thank you so much. So a number of different things have been going on since the last time we met. So first, I should mention that we also donated to the Access Fund in accordance with our internal budget of last semester. There's been some questions about whether that the Access Fund still needs so much additional contributions, but due to the general lack of programming on the GPSA's part this semester, then we figured it was the right thing to do just to go ahead and make that donation and then try to assess where there can be other needed areas of funding going forward. Next, there was, if you remember what I talked about last meeting, in open forum of our previous GPSA meeting, there were a number of students and divisions who expressed a degree of TAs feeling overwhelmed by the degree of work going on this past academic year, in part as a result of the reduction in TA-ships available, reduction in external funding as a result of the pandemic, and which resulted in a general call for longer time to degree extensions and greater guaranteed funding for students. So the Student Advocacy Committee of the GPSA met over the past 2 weeks and decided to, you know, due to the timeline, to introduce a resolution calling on the university to release data on a number of different things related to the availability of TA funding, as well as data on dropout rates and some other issues. I don't have the resolution in front of me, but basically they took the route of trying to get better information on the current state of TA ships and to try to use that as a way to make better decisions about how TAs would be funded going forward. And another thing I think I'll mention is that we had a meeting with some representatives from PhDs from Cornell Tech who have expressed some longstanding concerns about the way that the student activity fee has been calculated and distributed for PhD students at Cornell Tech. It's kind of a complicated issue, but the short of it is that they want to reconsider the way in which PhDs at Cornell Tech have to pay the full student activity fee, given the fact that most byline funded organizations of the GPSA go to entities that Cornell Tech students mostly don't benefit from. And so we invited them to speak to the GPSA last meeting, and it seems that there's a general agreement on the basic principles going forward that we want to try to find a solution such that Cornell Tech students can get some kind of reimbursement for part of the student activity fee that goes to organizations and groups that they don't benefit from. Because right now, the PhD students at Cornell Tech, they don't even get their student activity fee back at all because they haven't managed to get byline funding and they don't have any kind of arrangement with the university to for some other group to administer their student activity fee funds. So that's something that we want to try to figure out in the coming weeks. And so I think I'll leave it at that for now. Yeah.
Thanks so much, David. And I'm going to open up the floor for any questions for David on either what he said or GPSA action. Okay, seeing none, I am going to the employee assembly.
Thank you. We just had our employee assembly staff forum with President Pollack, with Mary Opperman, with Ryan Lombardi, with Joel Molina about 1,200 staff members logged on to hear senior leadership's reflections on this past year under COVID and look at, you know, what the future looks like moving forward. So we asked probably a little over 10, 15 questions of senior leadership, and I think it was a pretty good engagement and a great opportunity to get answers on a lot of growing questions in regards to some of the salary reductions, the benefit reductions, and how people are going to be right-sized moving forward. And I think there were questions in regards to vacation days and so matters involving the staff. So it was really helpful. I got a lot of really positive feedback in regards to that. Moving forward, we have some different priorities, addressing some belonging at Cornell data that we've recently got a hold of. It appears the demographics who feel least like they belong at Cornell are the LGBTQ community and also the disabled community. So there are colleague network groups set up, and we're going to have them present at the employee assembly to kind of talk about their perspective and how we can partner the employee assembly and these colleague network groups to kind of mitigate some of the issues that they might see that perhaps we don't from our perspective, from our identity. So I'm looking forward to those conversations. I'm meeting with Angela Winfield, who does diversity and inclusion work here, to talk about an HR site statement in regards to sexual or affectional orientation as a preference. And this statement is really problematic for the LGBTQ community. So we're going to sit down and kind of talk about how they're going to reword that and what the future for statements like this look like moving forward. So I'm really happy about a lot of the work that we're doing, and it's going to be really interesting because we do have elections coming up. So that's going to kind of shape what our constituent, what the employee assembly body is going to look like moving forward. So that's sort of a brief update on what the next couple of weeks look like for the employee assembly.
Thanks, Hey. I have a quick question. The meetings that you have coming up, by any chance, would you be willing to invite any members or all members of the UA? And is there room for collaboration between the EA and the UA on this?
I think absolutely. All of our meetings are open to the public. You just need to log on with your Cornell ID.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would love to, and I think I don't want to speak on behalf of everyone, but I would love to support the EA in these efforts and bring them forward and to the UA as well. And thank you for the work that the EA is doing. And I am looking, are there any other comments or questions for Hey? Okay, seeing none, it looks like, so I know Charlie was going to be late. He had another prior obligation. He was excused, but it looks like he's not here. So is there a member of the Faculty Senate here that would feel comfortable providing a brief update on anything that's happened in the past 2 weeks or anything coming up? It doesn't have to be anything crazy and technical. It can just be that you guys have met and talked about X, Y, and Z, or.
I can get just let folks know that there is a Faculty Senate meeting tomorrow. The agenda is posted on the Dean of the Faculty website if anybody has particular interests. I know there are, I'm not quite sure how they do their legislative actions, but two or three resolutions or things that are being discussed. I'll see if I can, I'll put the link in chat.
Thank you, Gina. Okay, so without Charlie, okay. So that opens us up. It's not on the agenda, but it has been a part of every one of our meetings, which is a public and open forum at the end. So I would like to start it off by welcoming Nick to the UA officially. I know that we've all met Nick in some capacity, and he also serves on the CJC. But if he is comfortable and willing, I would love for him to formally introduce himself.
So Nick unfortunately had to leave a little bit early because because he wasn't able to clear his schedule yet. He was elected literally last night. I will carry out on your thanks to him. Yeah, and thank you all. Yeah.
David, would you be able to give like a brief introduction to Nick and where he is in the GPSA and potentially his area of study?
Yeah, so Nick Danev is currently our executive vice president, and he was previously serving on the CJC, and he's been working a lot on a lot of different issues related to international students, and I think that he's very excited about being part of the UA, and as far as academically, I know that he's in his first year of study, and I'm not positive of the department name. I'm sorry. I think it's in the life sciences he's working in. So,
In genetics, genomics, and development.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's about right. As are many people in the GPSA. Right.
Thank you, David. And sorry for putting you on the spot.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
And thank you, Jeff, because I knew that it was like a long title and I was trying to find his signature in his email really quickly. So I really appreciate that. I right off the bat, I've worked with Nick professionally, and I think that he is going to add a lot of wonderful things to debate here. And I'm very, very excited that he chose to join the UA. And well, chose to run for the UA, and I'm very excited that the GPSA chose to elect him in. And I am going to leave us open in public forum if anyone else has anything they would like to say. I think this is the fastest any of our meetings have gone. So I'm feeling Pilar. Yeah, I think it is. The last thing I will say, actually, since nobody else is, to my knowledge, I can't see any hands up. I am speaking to the Board of Trustees on Friday, and I prepared a report which pretty much outlines all the resolutions that were tabled, passed, or are in committees currently. I put our membership, I put the membership of the standing committees, and I asked standing committees for brief reports as well. And I then just spoke about the fact that this semester we're going to be doing a lot of bylaw changes, especially to the CJC, and it looks like the CWC, and that we have passed and presented so many resolutions this year. It's really impressive. And if anybody has anything specific that they want me to convey that's UA related, please email me or speak now. And then I'm also now going to quickly pass it off to Pilar because she has a breakdown of the vacancies on the committees. And I think that that would be good for everyone to hear.
Hey, everyone, since we do have time, this was just going to go as an email summary to the smaller group, but as a broader one from the websites and our actual committee membership database, there are three vacancies in the CIC. That is one from the actual employee assembly, another one from the undergraduate student representative body, meaning it doesn't have to be an SA member. There is then another spot for the GPSA assembly representative. So that would be one from the EA assembly, one from the GPSA assembly, and then a broader undergraduate representative. This is for the CIC. For the CJC, we also have three vacancies. We have one for a faculty broader representative. So that is not a senator, not from the faculty senate. We do need an employee broader representative, and then a UA representative, as I mentioned before. So again, a broader faculty member, a broader employee staff member, and then one from this body, and that's for the CJC. For the CWC, we have four vacancies. That's the one with the largest gap, one specifically from the GPSA assembly, a broader graduate and professional student representative, one from the EA assembly, the employee assembly, and then a broader staff representative. So if you're the committee chair and you feel that this is incorrect and we're missing a staffing, please let me know. Otherwise, this also will go in writing. I see Bennett's hand is up. Bennett.
Sorry, just to add, our undergraduate rep at large or whatever the position is, Layla has decided to leave the CWC. I have three interested people. I have three interested people ready to fill that spot.
Okay.
And we'll probably discuss on Friday, potentially in an executive session, how we're going to go about filling that.
Okay, so you'll see this email. This email is going to go through to the
for the CWC, not for.
Okay, and we can do the swap out at that point in time, so that would be Layla needing to be swapped out then. Okay. Anyone else? Otherwise, that is pretty much the requirement of if we want to bulk out for any votes that are coming up with these committees.
Thank you, Pilar. I appreciate you looking into that. And Bennett, if you in executive session have a hard time picking between candidates, you can send the candidates to Pilar and Pilar can make the decision with the exec. So it won't be just Pilar's decision alone. But if you end up in a position where you can't pick between two candidates or you can't pick between all three of them, you can send them to us with a little bit of information and send them to Pilar, and then Pilar can talk with the exec on Tuesday, next Tuesday. So that's an option. Thank you for the thumbs up. Is there anyone else that would like to mention anything? Okay. I want to make one last comment. If you are the head of a constituency and you ever can't make it, and I know now I'm also going to email this to Charlie and Kat, obviously you don't have to come to every meeting, you are able to designate someone to come in lieu of you and vote. So right now, this is to David and Hey Hey. If there's ever a meeting where you can't attend, you can designate someone on the exec, and I don't even think they have to be on your exec, to come and vote on your behalf. And I'm going to give that information also to Charlie and Kat so that they know that they can always be represented if they can't be here. Okay. And I really don't think I spoke any faster than usual. So, it's 5:48 p.m. and I'm going to entertain a motion to dismiss and adjourn the meeting if no one else has anything to add.
I move to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. By David, seconded by Pilar. Is there anyone opposed? Seeing none, it is 5:49 and the meeting is adjourned. I'll see you all in 2 weeks, and I'll see you exec in one. Bye.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.